2050, half the women will be single, alone, and childless. So this is a big factor. America is forgetting God.
John, are you from Mars?
Yes.
Yes.
A lot of articles were written about me, about my books, the ideas. I was considered dangerous, a sexist. I got death threats.
How important is having a figure, like a father figure and a mother figure at the same time while growing up?
It's the Middle East, which is why I love coming here. People believe in marriage still. We've lost the respect for femininity. The more successful a man is in the work world, the less successful he is in relationships.
حلقة النهاردة هي أول حلقة من نوعها في البودكاست جلاس روم. أول مرة يشرفني حد غير عربي أو مصري وبيتكلم عن العلاقات. ضيف النهاردة نجح إن هو يغير ملايين الناس بالنظرة للفرق ما بين الراجل والست. النهاردة ضيفي هو كان جون جراي، كاتب كتاب وسلسلة الرجال من المريخ والنساء من الزهرة، ده طبعا ترجمة ولكن Men from Mars and Women from Venus. الكتاب ده كان ثالث كتاب يكتبه جون جراي، وكان أكثر كتاب مبيعا حوالين العالم، اتباع بملايين النسخ لفترة طويلة جدا، وهي أعتقد تقريبا 6 أو 7 سنين. كان هو أول أوثر أو أول كاتب يبيع بكم ده من الكتب حوالين العالم. بعديها جون جراي كتب أكتر في الفكرة دي، وكتب أكتر من 25 كتاب حوالين العالم، وهي من أكتر الكتب المشهورة في العالم لغاية النهاردة. كلمنا النهاردة على الفرق ما بين الراجل والست وفكرة الأسرة بالنسبة للمجتمع الغربي، ونظرة المجتمع الغربي للمجتمع الشرقي نفسه، وفكرة الأسرة عندنا برضو، وفكرة الراجل وفكرة الست والفرق ما بينهم، وإيه هي احتياجات الراجل الحقيقية واحتياجات الست الحقيقية علشان يبقى في علاقة قوية ما بينهم أو علاقة صحية ما بينهم. طبعا الحلقة دي اتعملت، المحادثة دارت بالإنجليزي، بس احنا هنترجمها كلها. لو انت بتتفرج على اليوتيوب فهتشوف الترجمة، لو انت بتسمعنا على اي منصة سمعية حابب ان انا ادعوك ان تتفرج على اليوتيوب هتلاقي الترجمة موجودة. ولكن انا حبيت ان انا اخوض التجربة دي لان هي تجربة جديدة، ان انا اول مرة اجيب حد شخص مش عربي ما بيتكلمش بالعربي، لكن حبيت اشوف نظرته للمجتمع بتاعنا عاملة ازاي، ومجتمعاته هو مجتمعه الغربي عامل ازاي. حاجة اخيرة احب انوه عليها، ان الحلقة دي هي للبالغين اكتر، للاباء والامهات والمقبلين على الجواز، لان فيها استفاضة اكتر في تفاصيل مش المفروض الناس الصغيرين او الاطفال يسمعوها. سيبكم مع جون جراي والرجال من المريخ والنساء من الزهرة، ان شاء الله يكون لها قيمة.
So the idea of the room is really different. Now it came to me like I think 3 or 4 years ago somehow. So I wanted to replicate or mimic the what's happening on the ground in the society itself or any type of communities. So this a dark ruined garage that nobody is using somehow. And in the middle, I built like a very glass, vulnerable, transparent room. And it's very neat, a little bit. And when you look outside, you feel, wow, it's a little bit rubbish. But this is what's always happening in real life. So people who enter the room has a meaning or have a little bit of different type of impact. Mm. On the society or even on their community around them. They don't have to be super, super famous. Maybe my mother somehow.
Yeah.
Or someone that is impacted one person. Mm. But the actual representation is that this room is made to translate or to make this type of people arise somehow. And people listen to them.
Yes.
Yes.
Everyone has wisdom.
Yes, exactly. First of all, I'm really, really glad that you are here with me, John Gray. You are very famous, very, very much famous of your, I think, first book.
Men from Mars.
Yes.
It was my third book, but it was first famous book.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think you wrote more than 25 yes. books. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I remember that you were the best-selling author for I think more than 6-7 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For the decade of the 90s, I've sold more books than anybody on the planet.
Wow. Yeah. And yeah, we will get to what happened after, but I would like to start with, like, this is the obvious question. Huh? So, John, are you from Mars?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a metaphor, but yes, yeah. I'm very from Mars.
So,
you know, I grew up in a family with 5 brothers. And then I became a monk for 9 years. Wow. So I really know what it's like to be around men. I understand men, I understand me. Hmm. Part of my spiritual journey is self-realization, whereas I know what's, I think a lot about why I do things, what I feel, what's important to me. Hmm. And when I started, after being a celibate monk for 9 years, I started having girlfriends and getting married. Women were definitely like from a different planet. So that's where the metaphor came from. Because we are so different. When we really understand who we are, we see that women are quite different. And when I say we're different in certain ways. In many ways, we're the same. We're human beings. We all have 5 fingers on our right hand, left hand, basically.
Yeah.
But there's so many differences. And because it's so confusing today, because other people, the universities, I used to teach at Harvard, at Stanford, 2 very reputable universities, top. And I was kicked out by the students because my ideas are too radical. I'm considered a sexist to talk, say, even to say men and women are different is significantly different is sexism. It's crazy. And the common knowledge for thousands of years that we all know, and in medicine, we all know men and women are different. And people go to counselors today. In America, not here, but in America, most of them have been trained to treat men and women just the same. Mm. Now, in certain ways, we all deserve to be treated with respect, to be appreciated, to be seen, acknowledged, understood. But the way that goes across for men and men, women is very different. We'll get into that.
Yeah, I think you were talking about before we start here that you were the best selling author for a lot of years, and something happened that I think people that had power at the time didn't want this to continue, and then they tried to cancel you, something like that.
Yeah, well, part of being a successful author is having a platform. And I was on every single TV show for 6 years. Ironically, I was never received a positive article. A lot of articles were written about me, about my books, the ideas. I was considered dangerous, a sexist. I got death threats. But when you put me on TV, because people can see me and they can hear me, not someone talking about me, but they could see and hear me.
Yeah.
And everyone loved it. And who doesn't want to hear fun things about men and women and how we can understand each other better. So I was very popular on TV. All the shows had me. And then in one day, everything was canceled. I was not allowed to be on any of the shows. And I would ask, what is it? And they said, oh, we've done this before. We've done this. They told us not, we're not doing this. There was one really famous interviewer at NBC. And I'm not going to say her name. But she was super famous, and she wanted to do a 6-part series on Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Mm. And they wouldn't let her, and that's why she quit. She quit her network, basically because they felt she was being censored. Mm. She eventually went back to the network, but she thought whatever she thought. It was just really absurd. But you have to realize for all those years, 10 years before I wrote the book, Men Are From Mars, I was being attacked verbally by people. You can't say these things. You're a fraud. You're a fake. This is not true. There's a narrative that they've been trying to put out ever since feminism began in the 60s that men and women are the same. And, you know, here's where it becomes confusing. We all want equality. You know, America is based on the idea of everyone is equal, but what equal means is not the same. You can have equal opportunity. You can have equal respect. You can have equal support through the law. You know, you shouldn't be discriminated against whether you're a man or a woman. And that's a beautiful message. So certain corrupt people co-opted that message and confused people as that equal means we should all, we are all the same. We should recognize we're the same and we should all get paid exactly the same. People don't realize that's what communism is everybody gets the same amount. What people don't realize is that, and women particularly don't realize this, at least in the West. If a man does not feel I can achieve more, he won't. If you don't pay me more for, I've just flew in from San Francisco. Why I fly in all the way across? I can talk anywhere I want in my neighborhood. Why come here? Well, first of all, I really like Egypt a lot. I've come here many, many times. I came with my mother when I was a young 20-year-old. It's special, but why should I travel and go through all those airports and all those things? Because I make more money. Okay, it's about I can achieve more, and also I can reach more people. So men have to have a goal, and if they don't, which I can achieve more. You know, think about it. If we're working in a company and you get paid the same as me, no matter how good you perform, you come in late, you don't do anything. Why should I feel, oh, I have to come in, I don't get paid more? So that's what motivates men, is that if you do more, you get more. If you're successful, you get more. And the most important thing, which is deep in our hearts, is if I work hard and I make a living, I can support a woman and a family, and I will be loved. And that's what happened when feminism came along is, you know, you can go out there, work hard, and women are all working hard too. So in America, they're all saying, well, what do I need a man for? So what man wants to commit to a woman who feels I don't even need you in my life? People don't realize that the foundation of love is feeling mutual need. I need you, you need me. But what I need from a woman is not what she needs from me. What women primarily need from men is for us to provide protection and security. It's what we've always done. And what women have always done is provided what we need is love. Most men don't walk around thinking, I want love. They think, oh, I want sex. But the only way, see, people don't realize the deeper psychology of men. The only way a man can fully let in love is when a woman wants to have sex with him. This is the cornerstone of marriage. It's not we're just friends. It's not whether we're business partners. It's not that we run a house together. It's that the man has a woman who loves him so much that she'll get naked with him and want to have sex with him. That's what makes a man thrive. And you can look at this biologically. What is it? Women turn men on. We get switched on. It's a woman's love or the anticipation of a woman's love. And then you look at why so much divorce in America and the West is if a woman can't feel I need a man and I have a man, how can a man get the love he needs? So a man says, no matter what I do, she's a never happy woman. So I quit this job. Why would you go to a job and not get your payment? Why would you be motivated to be with somebody if you're not going to get what you need? And in America, for the modern woman who's single, which is half the women are single, is predicted now with the younger generation by 2050, half the women will be single, alone, and childless, full of regret.
So in the West, half the women in 2050 will be single. You mean that they will live all of their lives
single?
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's what's happening now. This is people who do statistics and they understand the trends of where we're going.
Yeah, I would like to understand the environment, the how families are there, how couples interact right now in the West, how they perceive the world.
Yeah, you have 80% of the people who are married right now. First of all, half the number of people get married. We used to say always half the people get married get a divorce. That's still true. Okay, they still get, and then they get remarried, and more than half of those get a divorce. And they get remarried, and 90% of those get a divorce. Okay, so this is like people have such a lack of understanding of relationships. When things go wrong, they always blame their partner. There's no sense of accountability. And 90%, 80 to 90% of those divorces are from women, because women don't understand men. They assume men are like women. And it used to be women understood and appreciated men. But now the whole dynamic in the West has changed. But a bigger factor I just want to bring up is 80% of the couples who are married believe in God. Okay, so this is a big factor. America is forgetting God. And so you've got only the small minority of people who stay married or get married don't believe in God. It's if you believe in God already, you have a chance to have success in your relationship. We see that. The rest of the people aren't married. There's so many people now who don't believe in God. And I look at this, we'll get into the biology of this, but it's very important that we not just depend on each other. I depend on my wife for love. I have a romantic relationship. I have a happy wife. I have 3 daughters. I have 5 grandchildren. You know, I dedicated my life to that. And I'm very lucky because I make money doing that, meaning it's my job. So, you know, there were times in my own marriage. And when I talk about my marriage, my first marriage was 2 years. I didn't understand women at all. And then the next marriage is Bonnie. We happily married for 34 years. And then she passed. And she's the one who taught me about women, okay, trying to figure her out. And that's how I learned how men and women are different to create a beautiful relationship with a family. She passed with cancer, and 2 years later, 3 years later, I got married again. So I've been married now for a while and very happy again. People say, how could you find somebody now? I said, very easy. When you have the skills, have a successful relationship. And my wife today, she always says, why did you pick me? Why did you pick me? Because she thinks I'm the greatest guy in the world. And she didn't understand that. It's not that she's rich, not that she makes money. I care less about that. And when a man makes enough money, he doesn't care if his wife makes money. Yeah. But every woman does. They need that. Now, when I was teaching at Stanford, I say every woman needs a man who has a job. And these silly women will, I'll be the provider. I'll take care of him. They don't understand that when a man doesn't have his own dignity, that I approve of myself by my worth, by what I do, what I contribute, by my hard work, by my efforts. If I don't have that, and I look to a woman to feel good about myself, it will be failure. I look to myself and what I do for you, for anybody I work with, the appreciation I get from that. That's what builds my self-esteem. I don't look to a woman to build my self-esteem. Although if I do, I'm a child. I'm a child. And she'll treat me like a child after a while. She'll look down on me, you know, because not that women look down on children. They have a different attitude towards children. They love children, but they don't want their husband to be a child. And as a marriage counselor for 40 years, so many women will say, I feel like my husband's a child. And I say, well, you treat him like a child. He's not a child. But what are examples of how women treat us like a child? Always trying to control us. And women don't think about they're trying to control us. You have to control your children, right? You have to raise them. You have to correct them. You have to guide them. You have to teach them. So there's one funny comedian in America. He says, you know, I really love my wife. He's making a joke here, but he says, I really love my wife. She helps me when I drive. She tells me the different colors. Like she'll say, that's a red light or that's a yellow light. And she tells me where to turn. She lets me know what my speed is. And, you know, I don't have to look at the speedometer. She's always letting me know how fast I'm driving. So she's my little helper in the car. And all the women are laughing and all the men are laughing because we know it's one of the most annoying, irritating things for a woman to tell us how to drive. You know, my wife says, slow down. You're driving fast. You could get a ticket. You know, I know that. But here's the other side of it. I understand women. I understand that I want a happy wife. I know biologically, a woman cannot be happy unless she makes certain hormones. And that hormone is estrogen. Her estrogen levels need to be 20 times higher than mine in order for her to feel sexual attraction to me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And how I drive the car will determine her estrogen levels.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a big subject. So as a man, my wife would correct my driving. I say, who are you? I'm a much better driver. She will tell you, I'm a much better driver. I'm like a race car driver. Now, when I learned that when you want to make love, you have to do foreplay. This is what men have to learn. And once they learn, they have to remember to do it. That means you don't race into it.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a way to open a woman up. Men don't need that opening up. We need to know how to open up a woman. And when a woman feels safe, she makes a hormone called oxytocin. Mm. That helps her. That's a safety hormone. Then if she feels, I can depend on you for something that makes me happy, I can depend on you for something meaningful to me, then another hormone gets produced called estrogen. Mm. And for her to enjoy making love, to enjoy her husband, to want to be with her husband in that way, her estrogen levels have to double normal happy estrogen levels. So 20 times more than a man. So when I'm driving my car, I now drive in such a way that my wife feels safe and secure. I still don't like her telling me how to drive. So we find a creative solution. Whenever I'm driving too fast, she didn't say anything. She just grabs the handle. I go, oh, okay. I'm happy to slow down. And then I put my hand on her thigh and I say, I did that for you, honey, because clearly I don't need to slow down. Clearly there's nothing wrong with my driving. Doesn't need to be corrected, but she has a different experience of life. Also, she doesn't have a brake. She doesn't have a steering wheel. She doesn't have a gas pedal. She's powerless. So at a time where a woman is powerless and also in danger, and she trusts her man to drive in a way that makes her feel safe, boom, there's a whole nother reason for me to drive when my wife is in the car, very respectfully, as if the president of the company, the president of the country was sitting next to me. Do you know what that does for a woman? It raises the hormones that lower her stress and help her feel feminine, taken care of, respected, little things. And that's why my message has been so successful. You don't have to change who you are in most cases. You just have to understand what works and what doesn't work. Most men have no idea that you have better sex with your wife. She'll be more interested in you the way you drive the car.
Oh, wow.
It's just, this is a reality. Mm-hmm. Safety is so important. Why do men typically drive faster? Now, there's certain women who'll be listening. Well, I drive fast too. Okay, well, you're just competing with men. You have a male side. You can do that. You want to prove to yourself that you're independent. That just comes from your own insecurity of being a woman, that you deserve to have some men treat you with great respect. So that's what happened in America. That's feminism. It's because women, certain women from dysfunctional families felt dysfunctional and they didn't have fathers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so their fathers were not in the home. In America today, 60% of the men, 60% of the girls growing up do not have fathers in the home.
Wow, 60%.
60%, same thing for boys. So, you know, I've taught in the prisons, most famous prisons, none of them had a father in the home. Hmm. You have to learn how to be a man. You have to learn what a man is. He's cool, calm, collected. He doesn't raise his voice. He's not cruel. He's not mean. He will protect if someone attacks. But to his family, they're everything. So he has to see his father being able to react in a cool, calm, collected way. Also, every day waking up with a goal in mind, motivation. If you don't have a father who's motivated to be a service to others and to your mother and to the family, how do you learn those skills? How do you know that that's what gets the big bucks?
How important is having a figure, like a male figure, or like a father figure, and a mother figure at the same time while growing up with children?
It's the essence of civilization. It's the foundation. Our world is falling apart. So much drug addiction, so much violence, so much war, all these things are going on in homes. And why? First of all, there's always been some, for sure. But the reason we have civilization is that we had fathers and mothers who fell in love. When you're in love, you have a greater motivation to not be selfish.
Yeah.
You know, I'm naturally, you know, every parent knows you can be so selfless with your children. Sure. But the prerequisite for having children is learn how to be selfless for your partner. You know, we have to learn how to be kind and forgiving and patient. And there was a time in the world where everybody knew men were different and women were different. It was common knowledge. We didn't understand those differences in a positive way, but we understood it. Generally speaking, we're different. Oh, that's just a man. Oh, that's just a woman. They're kind of crazy. Oh, he's sort of selfish, but he's the guy who does all these wonderful things for us. So there was love, acceptance. What happened? As soon as women started becoming more masculine, they didn't need a man. Okay, it's as simple as that. I mean, to me, the essence of love is a need. I was homeless at one point. After I was a monk, I came out into the world. I didn't have a job, and I thought everything would open up for me because I'm very trusting, and it didn't. I had no money. I was just on the beach for a while with a bunch of crazy people, and it was cold. And I remember I was very hungry, and a friend, I didn't ask him for money. I didn't ask anybody for money, but he offered me some money. He said, here, you just need some money. I was hungry, and he fed me. And I will never forget that moment. And he's been he was a good friend before, but later, since I became successful, I've given him huge amounts of money. Just, he's in my heart. That's what seals the deal. And what we have to do is understand what we need. Now, most men know they need sex. Okay? Mm-hmm. What men don't know is that they need sex only in a loving relationship. And our cultures have taught us this. But now we have pornography, we have temptation, we have all this craziness going on. The life force in a man is drained out. And the life force in a man can be measured. And that is your testosterone levels. When a man's testosterone, and all these men, these old men walking around, they have no vitality, no sex drive anymore. I mean, I have sex almost every day, okay? I'm an alpha male. But I know how to keep a woman happy. If your wife is not happy, you can't have sex desire. You will desire other women. It's crazy. But we have a culture that is teaching men, even the United Nations is teaching men, they have a sex education curriculum, which they've now, and they're trying to take over the whole world. And so all these countries, Egypt, for example, they get money from the United Nations. So all these countries get their money from the United Nations. So they go, oh, we'll do what you say. So they have this new sex education curriculum from the United Nations. They're teaching children in third grade to masturbate.
Wow.
This is one of the greatest sins there is. This is taking the life force and spilling your seed. This is every culture has talked about this in terms of shame. And now what they teach you, oh, if you feel ashamed after doing it, it's only because society says it's bad. No, it's bad. There are things that are not good for you. Taking poison, losing your life force, pornography, having sex without love, without relationship. It drains you, disconnects you from your soul. You know, this is the whole aspect of love and soul, connection to God, all those good things. And yep. People say, what's the real secret of your success? Monogamy. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I was a monk, so I learned I can be without masturbation. In my culture, everybody was masturbating, doing porn, having sex without relationship. And it's fun. Oh, no doubt it's fun, but then your life goes down. This is what happened to me as a teenager. You know, I grew up in the 60s. Free sex, rock and roll, take drugs, get high. I went, you know, after the Woodstock, a big rock and roll festival for 3 days. After that, I was just so exhausted. I was so down. I was so depressed. That's what turned me to God. It wasn't against God or anything, but it wasn't like I said, you know, I there must be another way. And I became a spiritual person, highly committed and dedicated myself to that. I still am dedicated. Every day I pray for hours in the morning. I pray for all my clients. I pray for the world. I go to higher states of consciousness. You know, I'm very disciplined in that. And I'm an example of what I teach. People say, does your wife ever, you know, say, you should read your book? and can you really follow your teachings? How can anybody follow your teachings? I say, if somebody says, how can I follow my teachings? They haven't read my book. My teaching is you have to be perfect. It's just be smart. That's all. It doesn't require huge changes. There are cases where people have serious addictions. My message cannot help them right away. If your husband has a husband or wife has serious addiction, you should leave them temporarily. You have to separate.
You talked before about that in order to have a successful, or the people who had already successful relationship or marriage relationship somehow, are people that have more dependency on religion or God.
Yes, yes. See, the point is, we have to depend on God. We have to depend on ourselves. We have to depend on our partners. Mm. We depend on our society. I depend on my work to get money to support my family. Dependence is a beautiful thing, but not over-dependent. Mm. See, that's a needy. If you're just looking, when couples don't have a life, when people don't have a life that's fulfilling, you have to have a somewhat fulfilling life before you're ready to be in an intimate relationship. Otherwise, if you're an unhappy person looking to a relationship to make you happy, it's too much pressure and it's not natural. You should first have a relationship with God, with your family, with the culture that you live in. You should respect others, treat others well, have a job, have friendships, have family. All these things are a foundation for our happiness, not just relationships. Intimate relationships is one of our needs, and it's a very important one.
Yeah, but from your point of view, why exactly does this help? Like, why exactly does, when I am...
why is relationship with God help?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, very simple. Hmm. So many people leave their marriages because they say, my partner's not good enough. My partner should be better. Hmm. My partner's not perfect. Because we're all looking for perfection. Hmm. Why not have perfection? That's why, one of the great things about my wife with Bonnie, she's very... The home was always beautiful. Sometimes, it would cause her to be a little frustrated with me because I'm not I'm working hard and so forth. But I'm not as neat as her. And she would get a little frustrated. But I became more neat as a result. But she created beauty around me and perfection. And it wasn't never perfect. So as human beings, we want perfection. If God we hold as perfect. See, if you don't have a relationship with God, perfection, something higher than you, a higher power, then you expect your partner to be perfect. You expect your partner to be higher power because we need that.
So humans are always searching for perfection.
Yes.
If
they're not getting it from a belief system, experience of the higher power of the universe, then they expect their partner. They're looking for their partner. I need you to be perfect. Mm. I don't need my wife to be perfect. Because I have a rich, lots of friends. Most of my friends are all best-selling authors. Okay, we all connect together and so forth, and a lot of single women there. Yeah. Again, it takes a lot to be successful, so you have to be somewhat single for women, particularly. Yes. But that'll be a whole discussion on why successful women often are single. That's a whole discussion. But anyway, but my friends, I take them out to dinner, meet my new wife, and they always ask you, why did John fall in love with you? Not realizing what an insult that is. Wow. imagine, why does he want to be with you? But they're asking her why she wants to be with me. And they become so frustrated with my wife because she says, John is the most amazing man I've ever met. And they say, he can't be that good. He said, you don't understand. He's the most amazing man I could ever imagine. Wow. Because, I know all these things. And there's so many amazing men, but they don't understand women. You very successful, powerful men, confident men, probably good men, but they just don't understand women. It's almost the more successful a man is in the work world, the less successful he is in relationships. Because the rules in the work world are different from the rules that make a relationship work.
All right. You just mentioned that success for women always depends on them being lonely somehow, alone, by themselves. But I would like to understand from your point of view, what does success mean in general?
Well, success means different things for different people, but I would just define it when I say success is I'm referring more to being able to make money, to have an impact in the world, to have a career, to be supportive. And in no way, please don't misunderstand me, that I'm saying that women can't be in a happy marriage and not have a career and not having a successful job. Mm. Now, my daughter Lauren, for example, she was like a workaholic until she got pregnant. And now she's like part-time work. I'm so fulfilled and so happy to be a mother. I can't imagine having to be away from my children. She didn't want to be there all the time. You know, you have, because see, parenting is another need that as we mature, it's a need the soul has to take care of someone else, to nurture them. But prior to that, we need to be in a relationship to make a baby, which is, and to have happy children, fulfilled children. And this is now just a lot of scientific data on big studies, the outcome of children of divorced families. Not that there can't be exceptions to that, but the outcome is not good. And if you also look at, I'll just throw in some gender differences here. Women 9 times more than men will tend to tell the children how bad the father is, whereas men only 10% will say how bad the mother is. And this is damaging to a child. Anytime parents put the other parent down to a child, they're hurting a part of that child, because every child is part dad, part mom. It's in both of us.
Yes.
It creates a split, creates a conflict. So if divorce does happen, it's very important that we always let our children know, never disparaging words about the spouse or the partner. This is just a hard, hard thing to do. And also when you are married, not to buddy up to one of your children saying mommy's terrible or daddy's awful. You know, you want to always hold them in the highest light that you can. Because the more parents love each other, respect each other, appreciate each other, depend on each other in a positive way, the two parts inside of that child will be in harmony.
Yeah.
So back to, I can be so easily misunderstood when I say these more radical things about unhappy women, but let me just tell you the statistics. Statistics, and this is in the West. Okay, so they do studies on hundreds of thousands of women in the workplace, and they do hormone studies. They can measure the stress hormone. Now, stress hormones get produced, you're not happy. When you're producing stress hormones, you're not happy. Okay. When you're producing stress hormones, blood flow goes to a part of the brain that has a bias towards looking at negativity. So let's imagine there's a terrorist attack. What's your brain going to do? It's going to look at who's the terrorist. What's wrong? Where's the danger? When you're in danger, you look for danger. When you're not in danger, you look at you're optimistic. Mm-hmm. So pessimistic, critical, discouraged, non-trusting. So when a woman or a man is stressed, they exhibit these negative attitudes, right? You can't feel love when you're producing stress hormones, okay? That's a biology. The biology of love for a man, when a man is feeling love, his testosterone levels will go high along with his estrogen levels. For a woman, when she feels love, her estrogen levels go much higher than a man's and her testosterone goes lower. That's kind of maybe hard plumbing for people to understand right away. So this is a basic difference between men and women and happiness. And that's what we're talking about here. Is not only is a happy marriage is essential for happy children, but for civilization to thrive. You know, you look at Japan, the population is dramatically going down. 30% of the male population has never interacted with a female in a personal way, and nor do they want to get married. And you can look in America, about half the women, at least right now, and the 20 to 30 year olds say that they don't need a man. They have no interest in having a man. This is just immaturity. See, because part of our own development is I first need to make myself happy before I depend on somebody else to make me happy. That's a healthy thing, as opposed to I depend on someone to become happy. We have to learn how to be fulfilled within ourselves so that we're not being too needy with our partner.
So there is a difference between dependency and be fulfilled.
Well, you can't to be fulfilled means I have an empty cup. Would you fill it?
Yeah.
That's fulfillment. Yeah. I'm fully filled.
Yeah.
But the way I hold it, it's a delicate idea. It takes discernment, discrimination to understand what I'm saying, which is I don't look to my wife to be happy. I look to my wife to be happier.
Oh, yeah.
I have that foundation. If I don't have a place I come back to, and this is what my years of being a monk helped me with, okay, which is I can be happy without a woman. I can be happy with anything. I can meditate 18 hours a day. I can fast. I'm a very disciplined spiritual person. I was more so when I was in my 20s. Okay, you're rich and famous. You're not as disciplined, but you enjoy your life more. But to me, it was the progress I was making and my commitment to spirituality and to celibacy and to being my prayerful side of me. That was my whole goal. Like some people, I'm going to make a lot of money. You know, if you're making money and that's your goal, that feels really good. At a certain point, you achieve your goal, then you have to find your next goal or what else. Mm. And part of as human beings, I wrote a whole book on this, which is our needs evolve. Mm. We have like 10 basic needs, many more, but I have to put in categories for conveying the idea. One is that we come into the world as children. We're totally dependent on our parents. That's a part of us. If people look at me, they go, I'm so youthful. I have the innocence and the happiness and the joy of like a child, as well as the seriousness of a president. You know, there's big problems in the world. I want to solve them. So laughing at our current political situation of a silly woman laughing all the time, do you want that as a leader? Just, yeah. You know, that one party is that we're the party of joy. Forget about joy. Leave that to our children, would you please? So the first need we have as a human being is to depend on others. That's our first 7 years of life. The brain goes through major shifts every 7 years, as well as some other shifts. But that's usually when we start sending our children away from the parents into like, school classrooms where children now have another need from age 7 to puberty. Mm. The hormones are different. They change. And during that time, the major lesson we all need and we don't always get is to feel safe and have fun. Mm. Now, I wasn't safe from my first 7 years to 13. My first 7 years, my mother was always there. So I have a tremendous, and my father as well, I have a tremendous ability to trust. Okay, that was part of a big thing in success is you have to be open to new ideas and you can take risks when you can trust. If you can't trust that you deserve it, you can have it, that it will happen, that things are good. So if you have trauma in those first 7 years, those are issues you're going to work on the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was 7 to 13 were major traumas for me. I have four older brothers who are rather cruel to me at times. Mm. I wasn't really safe. So I learned to be very introverted, protective, being this little brother who, here's the irony of it, is my brothers evidently, I found out later, were all jealous of me. And it turned out they thought the mother loved me more. And I had no awareness of this or anything, but I did know one thing did happen is that I'm the fifth boy. And by that time, my mother was able to convince my father not to spank us with a whip. Okay, in Texas, you pull down your pants and you get a whip and take out your belt and you'll whip your kids. And my mother thought that was just not a good idea. So she said, let's not whip him. That was it. So as soon as I got privileged treatment, everybody, they figured it out. And they felt it was unfair. So they acted out on me. When you're jealous and you feel it's unfair, people act out. And, you know, I have stories being thrown into a fire, thrown off the roof, buried in the backyard. You know, lots of things my brothers did to me. So it was not safe. It wasn't that bad, okay? I mean, there are times of happiness and joy in between, but safety was not my experience. And so then when I left home, everything changed. I moved into the next stage of development. But for that first stage, that second stage of safety, I would give talks as a grown adult, but nobody ever laughed. It was never playful or fun. So I worked on healing that part of me. And so now I have fun all the time. I learned how to develop. I healed that part of me. But some people are never happy. They're never fun. They're never joyful because they had a really serious childhood. Other people feel safe. They're joyful and fun. That's a need to be. One is the need to depend, feel safe. The next is to have play, to have fun, to enjoy yourself. Around 13, puberty, all the hormones change again. Boys' testosterone goes up 10 times. girls' estrogen shoots up and now they start having a period. They have all kinds of shifts take place. The needs for us at that time in our lives is to disidentify with our parents and to start having our group. Girls ideally can hang out more with girls. Boys can hang out more with boys. And we all have mentors of our same sex. It's very important at that time that you have a mentor. So you learn as a boy how to become a man, not just like your father, but from other men as well. And for girls, they have to have their mentors. And they also have their, what is it like to be feminine? And how are we starting to be different from boys and so forth? So that's a stage we go through. That's where we start having sexual attraction after puberty. You see, because we're different. When the differences show up, there's sexual attraction. When a boy's testosterone is 10 times more than a girl's, and a girl's estrogen is 10 times more than a boy's, that creates attraction. That's why we all got attracted at that time. Boys became, oh, I'm attracted to her. She's attracted to them. There's curiosity. There's it's like the two polarities on a magnet. Positive pole, negative pole. If they're different polarities, there will be attraction. So that's the beginning of our identification. This is why it's complete abuse to children. What they're doing now is teaching children anything about sex. Nothing should be about sex. They haven't even awakened that part of them. And that can have devastating effects later in life. You can overcome these things with good therapy or good knowledge and so forth, because, you know, we all get wounds growing up. But anyway, that's a confusion around sexuality. If a boy doesn't have a mentor, he can become too feminized very easily. And this is what's happening today. It used to be that the schools would at least have gym teachers, that be a man teaching, you know, for athletics and so forth, mostly female teachers, which are okay. But he needs to have more men, particularly today, because there's no man in the home. There used to always be a man coming back to the house. There used to be a man that we would depend upon for protection and providing for us, someone we could feel respects us, treats us well, and so we appreciate them. So the next stage of development is age 21 to 28. There's a whole brain change that starts to happen then, where we develop the prefrontal cortex of the brain. Before that time, we're like duplicating. All we can do up to that time is duplicate the people around us. We absorb every single problem your parents have. You will absorb to various degrees in the first 7 years of your life. Okay, this is because we're in a dream state. You can measure the brain waves now of children and adults, of course. And what you find is that the brain waves of a child up to about 7 years old are theta brain waves. And this is the same as dream state or deep hypnosis. We're being hypnotized by our parents. We watch everything they do. We duplicate. The worst thing parents can do is leave your kids alone. They should always be a part of the family. Now we just give them iPads, cell phones. They shouldn't even see a cell phone during that time. You want them duplicating a robot? You want them duplicating you? Too much attention is on trying to please children. Children are totally happy. We want our children to be happy. If you see what child is most happy is when they're with their parents, when they're participating, when they're helping out with chores. Not do it alone, doing it with the family. And this is now science bears this out, is when you include children in adult behaviors, adult activities, children are the happiest. If you send them out, particularly when they're really young children, send them out, they're missing, who am I going to duplicate? Send them off to school? What's going to happen when you send them off to school? Well, the most dysfunctional boy runs everybody. The most dysfunctional girl runs everybody. So you have to be very careful who your children you send them out to. And you should. Most of our unhappiness today comes from sending our kids to school. More and more people are having their own schools, which is the way the world used to be. People were way more intelligent in the past. Look at the works of art that they've done. Mainly they're educated by their parents and, you know, working with the family on the farm and so forth. We've really messed it up.
Yep.
So if you're going to send your kids off to school, there's a solution to all these things. I'm just talking about the problem and then a solution. You have to have good communication with your children. So then, because where are they going to get their values? They're going to get their values from you, the parents. Now they're getting the values from the dysfunctional, either teachers who are now very dysfunctional in America. They're all teaching about homosexuality, all that crazy stuff they're teaching children. They shouldn't even know about that. I didn't know about any of those things. It's like aberrations of life. Who's going to teach my children about that? I'm just trying to teach my children why evil exists. That's a hard thing. So I was mentioning these stages of development. First stage, we have to learn trust. Next stage, when we feel trust, we feel safe, then we can play. Mm. We're not too serious. And so there's a whole art to creating play for our children, not pushing them to achieve so much, but to enjoy themselves, what they enjoy doing. Then, and games and structured games and rules are very important. Then there's, which I have to mention something for fun. I noticed that the highways here, there's no lines on the road. Just yes. Like, but see, this is what our children are often missing is clear guidelines and rules. Mm-hmm. Your children need to have supervision. There needs to always be supervision for that age. Then what you have in the puberty, our hormones change again. And then we have around 21. So that's a time where we begin to understand we're different from our parents. We're different from the opposite sex. We begin to define who we are. What am I good at? That's what education should provide, is opportunity to experience what you're good at, what you're not good at, and have mentors, people who can inspire you, that you're drawn to certain things. It's wrong to expect children in school to be good at everything. Yeah, I remember feeling a bit traumatized because I could never make straight A's, the highest grade in everything. I'm super successful and happy, and I'm terrible at some things. You know, my wife says I'm an idiot genius. You don't have to be perfect at everything. You have to find your uniqueness. So you start to discover yourself, and that it's a period of learning. What am I good at? What am I not? What am I not? And getting love and support for all those things. Mentors are very important at that stage. Then you and for the rest of your life as well. Yes. All these things. I still need to have a higher power, someone I can trust to be perfect. You know, then I still need my family. Then I need my friends to have fun with, to feel safe with. Then I need to have my education of how I'm different from other people, what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, learning new things. Learning is a need. Once we stop learning, we grow old. Always have to be learning new things. You have to have teachers who know more than you. If you think that you know more than anybody, you're lost. If you give up learning, and the only way you learn is you realize what I don't know. Then you get to 21 years old. Now you get a brain change, and the brain changes. You start to develop the ability to self-reflect. You begin to develop, how can I make myself fulfilled? Okay, this is self-sufficiency and autonomy. So this is like preparation to be in a relationship, because when you fall in love, this person can take you from feeling really good to feeling great, to feeling fantastic. There's no better feeling than having somebody falling in love. It's just like to be totally naked with somebody, be adored and loved and have sex energy. Oh my God, that's just fantastic. It's what keeps me so young. You know, I'm 73 years old. People say, how do you have this energy? How do you feel this life force? Because I have great sex, but I only have that because there's times my wife will annoy me and bug me and bother me, and I just have to stop depending on her to make me feel successful and good. And remember, I'm a success without her, and she makes me even more successful. See, because you asked me before about how I define success, achieving your goals. You know, I set goals, and certainly every married man, his goal is to have a happy wife and have happy children. And successful children and their own endeavors. So if my wife is not happy, and this is the biggest problem for men in relationships, if man wants a divorce, he'll say to me, every man who wants a divorce, he says, no matter what I do, I can't make this woman happy. She's never happy. And that's like, for women to understand that, it's like, that's a man going to a job and saying, I'm not going to do this job anymore. It doesn't pay. Do you want your husband going to a job every day where he doesn't get paid? No, you want him to feel successful and get a reward for what he does. Well, what a man's whole life is about providing for people he loves. And now we have, you know, this nonsense of everybody being upset about the world and the climate and all these things. I have a friend, he has $30 million. He had developed a software 30 years ago, and sold it at that time. It's one of the first people. So what is he? Don't worry about money at all. He can't stay married. He can't fall in love. He just pays for love, pays for love. And, you know, now we're all in our 70s. His life is empty. He's dissatisfied. He's taking antidepressants. He has anxiety all the time. And I say to him, so what are you upset about? He says, I'm so anxious. He says to me, global warming. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, see, what people do is when they can't face their own problems, when they don't make themselves happy, they have to find something outside themselves to be unhappy about. Our unhappiness comes from within. That's the foundation spiritual teaching. And then once you find that, you'll become unhappy. If I can be happy on my own, I'll become unhappy, which is what happened as a monk. I'm totally happy. I'm one with the universe. I'm God. I'm one with the, I love God. You know, it was just, and God's in everybody. So it's a beautiful time in my life. And then I became very unhappy because I wasn't doing what I'm here to do. Mm. We're not here just to find God. We're not here just to be fulfilled. You have to go to another level, help other people find fulfillment. And that's the first step in that for a man, is to find a woman and make her life happy. And same thing for a woman, when she finds herself, to love a man and to support him and bring out the best in him by not being his mother. See, this is what women don't understand.
Yeah.
How to treat a man, just like men don't know how to treat a woman, women don't know how to treat a man.
Yeah.
So what happens is you bring out the worst in him. Men don't know how to treat a woman. He brings out the worst in her. A man can drive a woman crazy so easily. And to avoid becoming crazy, she'll shut down. All it has to do, so men, when your wife's getting upset about things you wouldn't be upset about, happens all the time because they have different biology, have different experience. So she's upset about something you think is no big deal.
But
tell her, it's not a big deal. What's wrong with you? You crazy?
Yeah.
And she'll shut down. She's not going to share herself with you anymore.
Yeah, it happens all the time. So
what we have is stages. So around 28 years old, that's where your prefrontal cortex develops. That's maturity.
Yeah.
Now you're capable of being in a relationship where if your partner is not wonderful that day, you don't take it personally. Whole thing is learning not to take things personally. You know, if she's happy, without a doubt, I take things personally when somebody's happy. And when they're not happy, I don't take it personally. I say, that's their problem, but let me check in on myself. How could I contribute in a better way to that person? But I don't get that upset. I won't say I'm perfect at this, but when I do get upset with my wife, I don't talk. If anybody's listening to this podcast, one practical advice, and we really haven't done much on the practical advice in my books, but the one thing, if you're upset and you're a man, your wife has said something, now you're starting to raise your voice, you're feeling annoyed, you're feeling irritated, don't talk. Why? This is the biggest damage that has happened due to psychology. What they teach in universities ruins relationships. There's some good ideas in psychology, no doubt about it. But when it comes to relationships, they don't treat men and women different. So what happens when you're upset and you're a man? We have this, remember I mentioned if you're in a state of stress, you can't be loving, you can't be compassionate, you can't be kind, you can't be friendly, particularly for men. You're in a state of fight or flight, you run away. Fight or flight. And in relationships, we tend to go into fight. And then after that, we go into flight. Okay, we start yelling and screaming. And we see, it's a process of men need to solve problems in order to feel good. Successfully. Now, what happens to the biology of a man when he successfully solves a problem? Like, for example, my experience right now, I was having a little jet lag today, and as soon as we started talking, all my jet lag's gone. I'm in a non-stress state. Why? Because for a man to be in a non-stress state, his testosterone has to be significantly higher, okay, he has to be, than a woman's. Okay, we have to have a ratio here. My testosterone right now is probably 20 times higher than any woman in this room, in this place. And just when I'm feeling good, it's 10 times higher. So I measure my testosterone at 73 years old. It's 50% higher all the time than when I was a young man. And, you know, when I'm working, you know, I'm off the chart. You know, or when I'm having sex. So all these peak states for a man when, you know, you don't find this as a young guy, okay? It takes a while to develop your mission and purpose. So to experience yourself fulfilling your mission on this planet, it's a challenging thing to get there. It's a journey. But at every step, we have a step to take, and we can feel good. But it gets better and better if you follow your heart. I was just at the Cairo Museum, and the big statue of Ramses, and he has his right foot forward. His right foot, no, his left foot forward. And they're pointing out the left foot forward is associated with the heart, and the king, royalty, the highest person, would lead with the heart. The heart's on the left. So you can lead with the heart. This is what we've lost in our culture today. We don't lead with the heart. Everything is leading with the mind. And leading with the heart means respecting your wife, feeling loved by your wife. You see, when a woman loves you, automatically your estrogen levels go up. But first let me explain, got a little ahead of myself. This is the basic, people say, oh, we aren't that different. Yeah, so many reasons we're not different. And there are genetic reasons, which I can go into, but one of the most significant is our hormonal differences. Because hormones regulate our ability to love. They regulate our motivation. They regulate our ability to, they cause us to feel unhappy, or they cause us to feel happy. Now, certainly mindsets affect the hormones, but every woman knows, and during the month, as her hormones are changing every day, it dramatically affects her mood. Then what you say or what you think can also affect your mood. What you do right now, talking with you, jet lag is gone. Stress levels are dramatically low. Why? What's happening in my body? Testosterone levels, at least 20 times higher than the average woman's. Okay, just shooting up. Men, when their testosterone goes up, they're cool, calm, collected. They're kind. They're generous. All the best qualities of masculinity come forward with testosterone. And then even better qualities come forth if his testosterone can stay high, and now he can have estrogen. Estrogen is the love hormone. When estrogen goes up, that's called making love. That's why making love is instinctively, we all want it, okay? Men all want it, because you can have high testosterone, but if you don't have estrogen, you can't feel the love, and we want love. We don't walk around knowing we want love. We walk around thinking, I want money. money and sex. But why we want sex, what women have to understand, because our whole culture has this negative attitude about sex. Oh, he's so low level, he wants sex. Yeah, some men just have sex with strangers, sex with themselves, sex with animals. You know, it's all very low level. But sex itself, why men have that drive? First of all, it's biological. We have much stronger sex drive than women. Why? So that civilization can move on, so that we're motivated to convince women to have sex with us. So it's the most important thing, to make babies, so that civilization moves on. But sex, when he's, in order to have sex towards his wife, his testosterone levels need to be 10 times higher than hers, if not 20. All right. For women to want to have sex with a guy, her estrogen levels have to be 10 times higher than a man's, and then double. This is biological.
Yeah, so for men, in order to be happier, yes, with their spouse somehow, they have to have a bigger amount of testosterone.
Yes, even without a relationship, just any man who's happy. If your testosterone levels go down from average men, now you are a big man, so you're going to need maybe more than I just to be happy. You go into the prisons, for example, a large percent of the men are very wide-shouldered men. If you look at the width of the shoulder, you can see the set point of how much testosterone that man needs. But even somebody with a man who doesn't have a big body, doesn't have wide shoulders, to be happy, he doesn't need to make as much testosterone. But even that man needs to make 10 times more than any woman.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference. Women need to make 10 times more estrogen than a man. So if they don't, they're stressed.
Yeah, so for women, the most affected hormone is estrogen. And for men,
it's testosterone. Okay, yeah, this is the big difference between men and women. One of the big differences is another big difference, since we're talking about them, just in terms of meta levels, bigger levels, is that every little baby, every baby has the same genes, basically, in terms of male, female. Let me say it clearly. Every little baby boy starts out as a baby girl. There's no gender difference for the first 3 weeks. Then what happens, because males, what we call males, they have a Y chromosome. The Y chromosome is, its function is it releases 23 genes that women don't have. So I have all the genes a woman has, but I also have 23 genes that their function is to override, suppress, push down certain female genes inside of me. And that's what makes a male different from a female, makes his brain different, makes his biology different, makes tendencies different, hormonal differences. The whole system helps a woman to be able to make a baby. We can't make a baby the way a woman does. We help. It flips to the other side. We have a, they have a vagina. You invert the vagina and you have a penis. Okay, we're inverted in many ways. In many ways, we're not. Those genes can be suppressed, meaning my 23 genes that override certain female genes. Here's a simple example of male genes. If my testosterone levels are the level of a woman, I'll be stressed. If a woman's estrogen levels are the level of a man's, she'll be stressed. She literally needs more estrogen. Now, it's not, I simplify it for the sake of a one-hour conversation. For a woman, she has her period, and then from the time of her period is over to ovulation, where she could make a baby, get pregnant, the function of the biology is every day her estrogen levels gradually need to become a bit higher and higher and higher. And if they don't, if they're not in sync with going higher and higher and higher, then she's out of balance. And so her stress levels will be higher. When you're in tune with your body, your stress levels go down. So once ovulation happens, her estrogen levels have now, they're now 20 times higher than the average man. So 10 times higher just as a happy woman. A stressed woman, her estrogen levels will be very low. So now, during this first part of the month cycle for her, after she ovulates, now her estrogen levels will come back down to 10 times more than a man's. And her progesterone levels, which are not significant in the first part of her cycle, now her progesterone levels have to be higher than her estrogen levels. And if they're not, she'll be depressed. And the closer she gets to her period, the higher her progesterone levels have to be. If during that time she's making a lot of testosterone, her progesterone levels will stay low. Because for her body to make testosterone, she has to use up her progesterone. One thing converts into another. So what you see is women have PMS. What's going on by hormonally is their testosterone levels are going higher, their progesterone levels are going lower. And to make things more confusing is the doctors will say, oh, you have estrogen dominance, which makes it sound like estrogen's a bad thing. But no, you need estrogen, but you need progesterone to be higher. But if progesterone is lower, then your estrogen levels are too high for that, in terms of it should always be lower than progesterone during that time of the cycle. So having, I wrote a whole book called Beyond Mars and Venus to explain for women their hormonal cycle. There's times when you want to have sex, for example. Those are the times which are five, you want romance the most during the 5 days prior to your ovulation. Why? Because that's when romance, everything which we call romance, which is rather abstract for men to understand what that means. But romance is when you prioritize a woman as more important than anything else. And you do things for her that make her feel special, that make her feel number one, that fulfill her emotional needs. See, women have these emotional needs that are much different from a man's. And particularly as she's getting closer to ovulation, those emotional needs become even more important to her. And so that's when you want to plan a date. So after about 5 days after her period is over, that's when you want to sit with her, have a conversation. What are we going to do next weekend? And tell me, honey, three things you'd like to do and I'll pick. So you're still the man, meaning you're taking the risk. See, when I take a risk, that planning a date is a risk. Making a decision is a risk. When you take a risk as a man and you feel confident your testosterone goes up. So it's a good thing for us to take risks. And men typically do. Or it feels good because your testosterone will go up as long as you have some confidence. If you didn't have a father, you have no confidence in life unless you had a mentor. Now, my dad was traveling a lot when I was growing up. So where did I get my mentor? My mother was so smart because one of my older brothers, you know, he was a, later in life, he has patents. He's a double PhD from Stanford, really brain genius brother. But he got caught by the police blowing up a wall to steal nitroglycerin to build a rocket. Okay, this is who one of my brothers was. Okay.
Wow.
And they said, you know, you better send him to military school or he's going to end up in jail. So they sent him to military school, and he didn't like that. He always resented me because they didn't send me there. And that's when my mother decided, let's not spank Johnny. Let's not whip him. Okay, so all my brothers became even more jealous of me. Shifting way over there. I forgot my point I was making on my brother.
No, we're talking about how can we control somehow the estrogen.
Okay, success does it. I have no idea why I went off on my brother thing. I can go in my childhood and tell you 100 stories. You know, part of a successful person has, in my opinion, knows themselves. I have reflected on all parts of my life, resolved all kinds of issues.
Yeah.
And later in life, this is why my thought process got interrupted, is I'm part of the traumas. We all have different traumas.
Yes.
I didn't even know my mother loved me more than other brothers, okay, because she was a very loving person. But later when I was so successful, all my brothers said, oh, you're successful because mother loved you more. And I thought that was the silliest thing. What do you mean she loved me more? That's crazy. So my mother was still alive, so I said, let's ask her. And my mother says, she has 7 children. She says, oh, I love all of you. I've done everything I can to show you how much I love you. I try to love you equally. It's just Johnny makes you love him more. Because all my wives will say that as well. Like, yeah. I make them love me because I have this innocence about me. I'm willing to look at my mistakes. I think that is the one of the factors of success is the ability to recognize I make a mistake.
Yes.
And I researched why now I have that ability because my parents didn't punish me. So I'm never afraid of being punished. So we have a whole culture, a whole history of civilization of people being punished. So what happens is you want to hide your mistakes instead of like, okay, I made a mistake. Because I have the feeling, at least from my mother and father, if I make mistakes, I don't get punished and I'm loved. So I'm driven. People say, oh, I'm successful because my parents punished me. Okay. And they're certainly motivated out of fear. Whereas people think if you don't punish your children, they're not going to be motivated. Okay. You know, they have to know if they don't succeed, they're going to lose love. Well, for me, if I don't succeed, I don't feel good. Not like I lose love. It feels good to succeed. See, we all have a natural motivation if you allow your children to find it.
Yes. I would like to understand.
To understand that hormone thing. That's where I got off the track. I realized I was talking about my brother and all that. So coming back to the hormones and a practical thing, you know, I can't give a talk without something practical for guys listening, for women knowing. When you're getting about a week ahead of your ovulation time, that's the most important time to have a conversation with your boyfriend or husband. And you say, hey, let's plan a date next weekend. Now, what is a romantic date? A romantic date is anything a woman would like to do that you're going to do for her, whether you like it or not. A romantic date is not doing what you want to do as the guy. A romantic date is what a woman wants. And men will go, well, what about me? Forget about you. You don't need romance. You need sex. And you want a woman to want to have sex with you? So many men complain to me, oh, I have to convince my wife. She's never in the mood to have sex. Because women can't be in the mood to have sex unless their estrogen levels start to double. Mm-hmm. Now, what makes a woman, human woman, different from an animal woman is that animal females can only want sex when they're ovulating. Because in an animal, as well as in a woman, when estrogen levels double, then what happens in the brain, something called luteinizing hormone, gets released, and it causes her adrenal glands to make testosterone, and testosterone causes her to want to have sex. Now remember I said the worst thing psychology has done is told men to talk about their feelings. Mm. Is if you're unhappy and you're a man, you should stop talking. Because here's this is why therapy and counseling has become such a big deal, primarily for women. Primarily for women, not for men. Mentorship, coaching is a big deal for men. Okay, if you're a coach, you're strategizing. You know, in coaching, you set goals, what's keeping you back, you're accountable. Very important for anybody. Particularly if you don't have your own self-motivation, have a coach is so important. And also who can ask you questions, help you and look at yourself. That's one form of personal growth, having a coach. Another is a counselor. Now, counselors, is to a certain extent, it looks like this. Not the way I counsel, but the way counselors do in the West. You come in as a woman, and you just talk about your problems. That's all they do. They talk about their problems until finally you get divorced because your therapist agrees with you. Because all he or she is hearing is one side of the story. People never paint themselves as the bad guy. It's always my partner is so terrible. Women will come in and paint the picture. And if I didn't understand how women don't see the whole picture, I think any woman who comes in, divorce the guy, what a girl. But see, I already know when a woman is complaining about him already, how can any man be loving when your wife's complaining about you all the time? I have to teach her how to stop complaining. You come into a relationship that's so wonderful because she doesn't have any complaints. As soon as she starts having complaints, what is a complaint? It's you're not good enough. You failed. When you give a message to a man, you failed. What happens to his testosterone? It goes down. He can't be attracted to you. He's not motivated to you.
So the man is always searching for a woman to be happy.
Somehow. Yes, and happy because of him.
Because of him. Yes, exactly.
And also other things in her life. Yeah, okay. So, it's like, here's a simple example. I take my wife to a movie and she says, that was the best movie. I'm so glad we went. I feel like I wrote that movie.
Oh, wow.
You feel fantastic.
Yes.
And you take her to a movie. Oh, that movie's terrible. They did this. They did that. They did this. Yes, sir. Your posture goes down. Oh, well, I picked the wrong movie. Bummer. We take things personally. And that is a problem, but it's what we do. And so I take things personally when it's positive, but I don't take it personally when it's negative. I will reflect on, okay, how can I make it better next time? But it doesn't bring me down. Why doesn't it bring me down? Because I've already established I'm not dependent on her for my happiness. I'm already happy. I'm dependent on her to be happier. The number one factor for me is making love. But women do not understand making love, and men are ashamed to admit it, you know. But it is if you look at some cultures, the only justifiable reason for a man to leave his wife is she doesn't want to have sex with him. That's in certain cultures, not in our culture, that's for sure. Women say, oh, I don't want to have sex with him because he's so terrible. Well, I wouldn't want to have sex with somebody if they're so terrible. But what's your role in him being so terrible? Women don't know their role in causing that to happen. Just as men, they say, I have an unhappy wife.
Yes,
he doesn't know his role, what he did wrong.
Yes, exactly. I want to touch upon about this, exactly the difference between roles. But before this, I want you to define for me what is an actual family should look like an actual marriage should look like.
Well, you know, that's hard to find these days, isn't it? That's why you want to define
exactly.
It. It's really it. It's, I'm the major provider. This is the ideal, okay? I'm the major provider, so my wife does not feel the pressure of making money. This is a biological need that she has because our genes are basically saying at any moment she could have a baby, and you can't provide for yourself when you have a baby. So this is biological. And you're not going to be fulfilled as a mother if you don't have enough time with your child. There's a whole imperative where the mother has more time with the child than the father does. The father is primarily the provider of safety and security for the family. He's an anchor. He's a ground. He doesn't yell and scream. He's respectful of her, but he also takes time for himself. He has a life that's fulfilling for him that's not dependent on his wife. He depends on his wife and family for more. So, you know, I was very fortunate when I married Bonnie. She had already been married before. She was a divorcee. And that's my wife of 33 years. But that was 38. We took a while to get married.
Yes.
Okay. So, And but she already had these two little children, and I wanted to marry her, and I wanted to have our child, because I wanted to have a child. I wanted a wife, and she said, "Oh, you want a child or you want me?" Mm-hmm. I said, "I want both." Okay, that's always. And then she says, "I feel like you're making a demand on me." So again, I have a knack for asking the right questions, which is, well, rather than focus on, am I demanding that we have a child? Tell me why you don't want to have a child. And let's have a conversation. And she told me all the reasons. She says, well, my last husband cheated on me. He left me, married a secretary, left me with two little children. I'm a single mother. I don't want to, you know, make another child. It's hard enough with two kids. I'm not a third child. You know, I want insurance that you'd never leave me. I want insurance that I'm not going to do this all myself. I don't want to do this all myself. I want a 50-50 parent. I'm so lucky that she asked me to do that. Because when I give my word, I keep my word. I don't always make promises, because I know if I make a promise, I have to keep it. I think that was the single factor of success in my life. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I don't always say I'll do it. I say, well, let me see. We'll see. I'll think about it. We'll get to it. When I say it, I just felt the huge power come inside of me, because I only do what I say I'm going to do. Not that I'm perfect at that. So I'll self-correct. I'll apologize. I'll make it up to somebody if I don't follow through. But I do my best. And that is foundation of success. But there's a certain dignity that comes from that. That's masculinity. I follow through on what I say I'm going to do.
Yeah, but it felt like as if you went back to the essence of a man that you want to protect.
Yes, the essence of a man is to protect and provide what a woman needs
exactly,
so that she can be happy. And what a woman does is she loves a man just the way he is.
Yes.
She doesn't demand more. She appreciates what she has. She's grateful for what she has. She depends on him for the things that are most important. See, we've lost our way today. Mm. We don't know what's most important. And what's most important to women, this is hard stuff for people. What's most important to women today, more so in the West than here, there's some stability here.
In the Middle East.
In the Middle East.
Yes.
Where there's traditional values. We're losing the traditional values very quickly in the West. Mm. Whereas we don't value the family. Part of what communism is and Maoist is, these destructive government systems, is you depend on the government as opposed to your spouse. See, we should not be depending on our government primarily. We should be depending on ourselves, on God, on ourselves, on our family and friends. Then from there, we can branch out, you know, we can give more to the world. But our primary dependence is ourselves and our spouses.
What is the main difference in your point of view between families in the West or relationships in the West and here in the Middle East?
Well, I'll give you some experience. Here in the Middle East, I was on one of my trips. I've been many trips here. I love coming here. I feel very welcomed here. As a matter of fact, in Qatar, they say I'm the only white person they ever let into their government building. Oh. Because they all love me so much, and they have the women all doing Mars Venus coaching, getting Mars Venus coaches. We have a lot more than anywhere in the world. We have more Mars Venus coaches in the Middle East because they value relationship here. When you value something, you pay for somebody to help. And the government, judges, I met a judge there. He says, I won't give a divorce until they go home and read the book and practice it and come back. Mm-hmm. This is a requirement for that judge. This is such smartness. I mean, why are we not rewarding? In America, we give tax incentives and huge number of benefits for single mothers with children. Mm. So women just go get pregnant, get money from the government. They're depending on the government. They don't depend on a man. Men lose their way when somebody doesn't need us. So this is what happened with the feminism, and it's been trying to take over the whole world, which is as soon as women... And this is sort of, you know, with computers and technology, women can be just as financially successful as men, and more so in the West. If you look at the more educated you are, often you make more money as part of it. Not always. It's a scam. But for some people, if they're educated, they do make more money. There used to be more requirements. Now there's not that many requirements. But if you look at the educated people in America, in terms of they went to universities, two women to every man graduates from college. And then those women are looking around, they're saying, where are the men that I'm interested in? Well, they're not making as much money as them. Why? Because the women are more educated. Women are making, this is all nonsense about women not getting paid more. If you're an uneducated woman and you have a child, you will get paid less. No doubt about it. But if you're an educated woman, you make 30% more than educated men. In America.
And then she will never be satisfied with typical men.
Now she's looking, she can't find men. Men are never good enough for her. Because always women have married up and men have married down. This is the age difference, for example. You know, women, they want a taller man. You see, women want to look up to a man. They want to feel he can give me something I can't give myself. Because when she's looking down at you, you're a child. She's somebody she has to take care of. And if she's looking down at you, meaning I have to take care of you, rather than I can depend on you to take care of me. So if you depend on me, I'm going to take care of you. What hormones come out of her? Mothering hormones. So she can't help herself. She's going to be telling you, don't do this. You should do that. Forget about this. What are you doing this for? You should talk to so-and-so. You can't do that. All these demeaning messages that women give, thinking they're helping. Feeling love when they do it. This is poisonous love. This is toxic love. This is women trying to, when I say trying to control, they don't think they're controlling. This is women helping men. Don't help me. Love me. Let me help you and be satisfied with the help I can provide for you. Don't expect more from me, except a little more. And don't complain. Well, how do you stop complaining? Women don't know how to stop complaining. It's hard stuff. See, why women didn't learn how to stop complaining is in the past when women didn't have a job and they were depending on men, you don't complain. You don't mind. You don't, what is it? Something about the horse, you know, that feeds you. You don't hit the horse that feeds you, something like that. You know, hey, we have priorities in life. If you're hungry, you have no complaints to the person who just fed you.
Yeah, I mean,
this is why governments want to create poverty. Governments don't need to tax. America doesn't need to tax for money. They only tax to keep people down. It was in our constitution not to be taxed. This only happened in the last century.
Yes, exactly. I mean, when I look to the Middle East here, I see the most tradition in marriage is that men are the basic provider somehow, and women are the basic keeper inside.
Yeah, yes, they're the inside, the men are the outside.
Yes, exactly.
And look at our bodies, they're the same way. We have way more muscle, 25% more muscle mass. It's protection. And testosterone. When I talk about these differences, I have to sort of extreme examples. You know, there's a middle ground. If you look at testosterone, for example, what testosterone does when it goes up, I'm faced with danger. My testosterone will go up. If I'm confident, if I'm faced with danger and I'm not confident, then my estrogen goes up. I become afraid. I become angry. I become depressed. I become feeling bad. These are the negative emotions. All negative emotions occur in men only when their testosterone is low and their estrogen is high. So when a man is angry, this is people misunderstand all of this. When a man is angry, his female hormones are dominating. His male hormones are weak.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's a shocking thing. This is biology. This is why a man doesn't become angry. If you become angry, you're a girl in a man's body. See, if you look at an angry person, that's why it's called fight or flight. It's a stress state. Men are only stressed when their estrogen is high and their testosterone is low, estrogen being the female hormone. Now, here's why you don't talk if you're a man when you're experiencing anger or you're afraid. And by the way, any man who is angry is afraid. Okay, somebody's angry. I say, you're really afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not very afraid of anything. Okay, that's just a defense reaction. If you're not afraid, you're cool, calm, and collected. That's what cool, calm, and collected is no fear. And that's an art of masculinity. And that's learning how to not have negative emotions. But we're not perfect people.
Yes.
We're going back and forth. So if something threatens me and I'm not confident, I didn't have a mentor, I didn't have training, I hadn't done this before. So now I lose my confidence. That means whenever you're confident, your testosterone goes up. When you lose confidence, your testosterone goes down, your estrogen goes up. So now you're afraid, but nobody wants to say I'm afraid, so they go anger. So they're not cool, calm, and collected. Now they're angry. Now what do we know what's true for both men and women? What's true about men and women is that talking about your feelings increases estrogen. Earlier in the interview, I mentioned that 90% of the women, 90% of the people who come to counselors are women, because they'll pay to have somebody just listen to them talk and ask them questions about how they feel. What do you feel? What else do you feel? You're upset about this. Why are you upset about this? What happened? If you can talk about your feelings, what will happen is your feelings become more. So talk about your feelings. If it's negative emotions, for a woman or man, negative emotions is estrogen. So talk about your feelings. If you're a woman, your estrogen will go higher. And for women, when their estrogen goes higher, their stress goes down. For men, when they talk about their feelings, their stress goes up. A man, okay. Do you see that it's the opposite advice? I don't ask men what they're feeling when they're upset. I ask them, what are you thinking? What should we do? What do you think is the solution? What's the strategy here? Get him to talk about what he thinks. Then his testosterone go up, and then he doesn't have negative emotions. Negative emotions go away when you solve problems.
So towards men, to solve problems somehow and to raise the testosterone?
Yeah, or analyze. You could have your emotions. I don't suppress ever suppressing emotions. There's ways to just raise your testosterone and negativity goes away for a man.
So when we try to analyze and try to somehow solve, then yes, our testosterone goes. And but on the other hand, how can I somehow control the female side?
Well, it's not control, support. How do I support my wife in having estrogen go up? Then you see what women do.
It's just listening.
Well, learn. It's a skillful listening. To the extent that you can hear a woman's perspective and not think she's crazy, then she feels heard and understood. When a woman feels like you care, that means you can feel what she's feeling to some extent.
Yeah.
You can put yourself in her shoes, in her high heel shoes.
Yeah.
You have to empathize with her suffering, okay? Feel what she's going through and respect her. And what respect is very, very important, which is to give her what she needs at that time. If I respect the law, I do what the law says. If I respect my children, I do what my children need. The reason women all wanted to become men is women were not getting respect. Women were not getting respect because there was, in many cultures, at a certain point, women were being mistreated. Mm-hmm. And so in order, they weren't being respected. So if you're a woman and you're not growing up with a father who respects mom and a mom who appreciates her dad, see, if you don't have that growing up, then little girls go, then how do I get the respect that I need? I'll become a man. Because one of the deficits in our society is we only respect people who make money. We don't respect mothers who make the men who make money. See, we've lost the respect for femininity. And when you lose respect for femininity, then femininity says, well, I'll become a man because everybody's giving respect for a man. I mean, if you just think, if I casually think, who do I respect the most? What on the surface is somebody's achieved a lot. They made a lot of money or they've contributed to the world. You immediately go, oh, yeah, you can go first. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like I was on the flight. Somebody heard I was Men from Mars, author of Men from Mars. Everybody knows that book. And they said, oh, come cut in line. Immediately, they honored me as the honored guest. They just invited me right to the front because they, oh, this is John Gray. Let's bring him right to the front. That's respecting someone. That's honoring somebody. Well, that's what all romance is respecting a woman's wishes and needs as a priority. Tonight, everything's for you. And men who are not taught how to treat a woman and the reward of treating a woman. See, what you have to know, you can have the best sex, making love. You can have your wife loving you in the bedroom, catering to you. And I can't go into an interview all the details of how great sex can be and how to make it great. Men have to learn to do things. Women have to learn how to respond in certain ways. And when you learn this, and I wrote a whole book on that called Mars, Venus in the Bedroom. Fantastic book, educating, because so many people are not educated around sexuality. And but it won't work in the bedroom unless outside the bedroom. It's again, men take the step first. We open the car door, so to speak. We do the right things outside the bedroom. Then a woman can give us what we need in the bedroom. And in the bedroom is a reflection of her opening her heart to us. That's because, see, there's no other time in a woman's life where estrogen levels will go to the highest level than when she's making love to her husband. That is the wow. the highest thing. And we can measure the hormones that get produced when a woman makes love and when a man makes love. Not having sex, having sex with someone you love who wants to have sex with you and love, they measured a hormone that gets produced at that time. And that hormone's called prolactin. And what prolactin does, it inhibits a man's desire to have sex with other women. See, God gave it to us. You find the right woman, you make love with her, your body will make prolactin, and that frees you from lust. See, we are born with lust, which is to seek out. We have, if you want a civilization, we need to make babies. Men, you need to be motivated to go out there and find a woman, and it makes you achieve more, makes you do more to impress the female. You can see it in animals, you know. When I was in the Galapagos Islands, you know, this famous place where these islands where you have these big prehistoric birds flying around the sky. And then you have, these are the females looking for the male. And all the males are on the ground. They're showing their wings and they're showing off. See, who is the most powerful? And the female comes to you. So that way you get the best offspring. So this is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
But today we've evolved to another level to where we can have monogamy, because in monogamy, what you can have is then a woman can feel more special. When you have more women, there was a practical aspect to that, which is that there weren't enough men to go around because all the men were dying in war. Mm-hmm. So, you know, women would gather around the powerful man, and that can still work for different cultures. That's fine. But what I see to be the case in my world that I live in, what makes a woman have the highest estrogen levels and a balance to that with her testosterone, the healthy balance, is when she feels special. Just like you, as a man, want to feel important. You want to feel number one at what you do.
Yes.
That's what I was told. He's the best. You're going to come be interviewed by him. It's so wonderful. I can't express the joy I felt, the depth of when I became the number one best-selling author. Yes. Just even before I was for the whole decade. But just when I got on the number one list for that week. Even though it continued on for years, but then it wasn't such a big deal. But boy, do I remember being number one. Finding yourself number one. That's what marriage is. You get to be, as a man, number one in her life. And she will only give that to you if you make her number one in her life.
Yes.
That's what marriage is. Then you have the chemistry that can produce prolactin, which then causes a man to now stay with the woman who he's created an offspring with. See, it's all perfect, God's plan. So if you're going to have sex, you don't have sex unless the woman feels like you're committed to her. That used to be the rules. You'd be married before you have sex. So you have a commitment. If you have a commitment to a woman and she loves you, your body will make this hormone called prolactin. That will cause you to not be attracted. Your lust for other women, the sex desire, the longing for other women goes away because of that hormone. But the problem with that hormone in the modern world is it also takes away your longing for your wife. So men over time lose interest in their wives because they love their wives. They have children. They have high estrogen and testosterone. Everything changes with love. But you produce this hormone called prolactin. It inhibits your lust. So then you stop having sex with your wife. But wait, the story doesn't end there. Hmm. Then how do you stay attracted to your wife? I'm an example of it. For 34 years, great sex, you know, never went away. Why? Monogamy, these skills, but more important is that there's something called polarity. I talked about at the beginning of the interview. Positive pole, negative pole.
Hmm.
Opposites, polarity, attract. So if I stay more masculine and she's more feminine, we will always have that attraction, even though prolactin, which frees me from the addiction to sex.
Mm.
See, we have a tendency towards being addicted to sex. We're programmed for it, particularly if we're exposed to pornography, that active. It's a powerful, it's like giving a child cocaine. And by the way, I said it before, I'm going to mention it. that child should never even see a cell phone until they're over 7 years old.
Yeah.
This is like terrible for their brain development. Just interferes with it completely. You already have an addiction to high stimulation. But the same thing around sexuality. It's so intense. Child should not be exposed to any of that. And now he's at puberty. Now there's curiosity there. Mm. But they do it earlier, which is why there's incest is a bad thing. And watch what's happening in America. They're trying to make pedophilia an okay thing. And there's certain cultures where they accept pedophilia. And this is, you know, dysfunction. This is where cultures go south, is that children should not be sexually awakened until, and nor should they should be thinking about global warming. Even my friend who's got $30 million should not be thinking about global warming. Yeah. First, be happy, be fulfilled, create a family, and then worry about the world. Hmm. Okay, the world's problems are not your problems. Your problems are you and your lack of love in your life and the lack of love for your children. You stick together with that. Depend on each other for that. Then you have a power where you can now make decisions and maybe help the world in some way. But yes, there's priorities here. And so many people that have empty lives. They're not doing anything. They're not committed to love. They're not committed to relationships, which challenge us to be loving. Just like if you want muscle mass, you have to go and use your muscles.
Yes.
You know, you go to the gym. During the shutdown, I was going to the gym. Had a trainer. I got such big muscles. Yeah. They all went away. I don't care that much about muscles. My muscles is my commitment and my making the world a better place. Not that people who love muscles is wrong. We have different body types.
Yes.
But you have to use them and you have to then challenge them. You have to grunt. You have to push harder. Then you feel you don't do what you like to do. You do what you have to do to build those muscles. That's the difference between masculine energy and feminine energy. Mm. Doing what you like to do is feminine energy. Doing what you have to do to achieve your goals, whether you like it or not, is masculine energy. Mm. And you have to have that as men. When men stop doing what they have to do, they retire. Whenever a man retires, he doesn't no longer do something he has to do. He doesn't have goals. Then what occurs is his testosterone goes down and he's got 3 years left to live before his first heart attack. And that's proven. The insurance companies know that. This is all the right. And you think, you know, why don't, when people talk about cardiovascular disease, they all talk about cholesterol, that ridiculous stuff. No, the whole story there is for men's testosterone levels. The only time a man can ever have a heart attack is when his testosterone is low. And the only, besides it being low testosterone, what goes along with low testosterone always? High stress levels. High stress level causes oxidation of cholesterol, and oxidation of cholesterol is what causes heart attacks. But cholesterol itself is for brain power. And as soon as people start taking all these cholesterol-lowering drugs, we have dementia everywhere because your brain is mostly made out of cholesterol. You need cholesterol. It's a good thing. Do not suppress cholesterol. I know the man who invented that drug. My friends put him together with me at some big party I was at as a joke because I teach people. A long time ago, I was teaching wellness and health. I said, it's the worst thing you can do. They put me next to him. I introduced myself. I said, look, just so I can have a conversation with you, I think what you invented is the worst thing for humanity. And he says, I agree. I only invented it for a disease that only a small minority of children have, where their cholesterol levels are 10 times higher than an adult. And otherwise, they will die at 7 years old.
Yeah, but then they used it somehow.
And then they use it because it's something they can measure and they can say, oh, you need this, you need this. This is terrible for you. Even one of the black box warnings on those cholesterol drugs is it will cause dementia.
Oh.
And, you know, my brother, he's still alive, thank goodness, one of my brothers. He goes to his doctor and says, this is his doctor. He says, well, better to be alive than to lose your brain. But you can have both.
I want to go to the last part here.
Yep.
And I would love to understand your take on the future somehow. So I'm thinking somehow that are we repeating the past or are we going to replicate what was in the past in our future? Or how do you imagine the future? And what I mean by the past is, are we going back to our right traditions somehow that we used to? Or are we making a new, different world that is actually collapsing?
There's a spiritual world war going on right now that was predicted. Everybody knows that there's the forces of good and the forces of evil. and they're coming forth stronger than they've ever been on this planet. Mm. And anything which is keeping people from speaking the truth, once you have cancel culture, mm. once you have censoring, once you have blocking speech, that's never been on the right side of history. Mm. But always when there's a canceling, there's a greater force here. And the greater force always rises above. And one way of looking at it from my spiritual side, I look at God gives us free will so that when we're not following alignment with the divine plan, we suffer. And right now the suffering is dramatically increasing. And people wake up. You know, the only time people change is when they suffer. Is that when you feel pain, you will change. And so we have gotten way too far into a hedonistic, out-of-balance society where all people care about is what they love, what they like, do what they want, as opposed to being of service to others mm. and lining themselves with the goodness in their heart. As Ramses in the statue I saw today at the museum here in Cairo, he's leading with his left. He's leading with his
left foot. Yeah.
Is it left or right?
Left, yeah.
Yeah, left because it was with his heart.
Yes.
I know that part of it. Lead with your heart was the idea. And we've lost the heart. But what happens is that when you suffer enough, you will self-correct. I have no idea how this is going to look. I just told you today that yesterday the United Nations passed a rule which is unelected officials will now determine what is the global crisis and what we do during global crises, that everybody will become a citizen of the world. We should not be a citizen of the world. We have our own cultures. We should elect our own officials. We should follow our own. It's taking away free will. As soon as you don't elect your officials and you follow someone you didn't elect, you're not following your free will. So we as a collective must maintain our independence. The United Nations is completely against that. They want to have a mark on you. It's just simply a mark. And it's so convenient, like a credit card. You can just put your credit card down now and just pay for something. Well, now you won't even need to do that. You just have a mark. Or when I went through immigration, they take my eyes. Soon you just walk into a store. They already know what your bank account is and whatever. If you're not following the narrative, which they've said, if you speak misinformation, they can take your funds. They can keep you from accessing your money. They can turn off your little switch. You can't travel. They've already tested it out. If you didn't have your vaccination cards, and now we see all the lies that were told during that time, it was all just a test run. Don't let them do it. All we can do is oppose it. It's what every spiritual teacher has always said. Restrict. Don't let them control you. Follow your heart. You know, so many quotes from different religions. You know, you follow God. You don't follow man.
Yes.
So where are we going? As far as relationships go, they're just getting worse and worse and worse. And now when people suffer enough, they do learn from the suffering. That's part of free will, is to learn that when you don't follow your heart, aligned with your soul and with God, you will suffer. And all suffering is the result of you, the choices you make in your life. But I feel, and what I teach, is unless you're educated, you don't have a choice. You really can't choose to do the things I'm suggesting, for example, and otherwise people are suggesting, if you don't hear it, if you're not educated. If you don't have parents who teach these things to you, you don't know. You're like a out of control person. And always, as I said to the children who go to school, they go to these schools, 8 hours you're away from your parents. Who at a time when you're absorbing and following others, who do you follow? The most powerful. And who is the most powerful in a school? The most dysfunctional child, the most dysfunctional girl. Everybody's afraid of her. They just become like her. The most dysfunctional boy, the bully, you will follow what they follow. Mm. This is so we have to rechange our education, we have to change our knowledge of our relationships. It all starts, though, with marriage, in my opinion. It starts with the man and woman making a relationship work so children grow up in a happy home. The greatest gift we can give to our children and to the world.
So it starts within the family, the first.
The family first, family first. Okay. And in a sense, it's God first. Hmm. And if you look in terms of hormonal balance from having a belief in God, for women through prayer, where they feel like they're not alone. See, the greatest source of stress for women is to feel alone. Hmm. Not for men. Okay, when I'm alone, that means I have to do it myself. That will raise my testosterone. And then I will feel the need to do it with others. That, you know, man has to first find himself before he's ready for a relationship. Woman's journey is very different, completely different. It's all about relationship. And when she goes to the male side, which she can do as long as she knows how to come back to the female side. And that's the new role for men. If women don't need us for their money, what do they need us for? How to help her come back to her female side. And that's what all my books are about, with skills that men can learn to help women become more feminine. Skills for women to learn how to bring out the best in their man, how to raise his testosterone.
Yes.
And I said a few things that are controversial, I know, because I don't get a chance to talk all about them. But when I told women, stop complaining, I don't mean just hold it inside. I mean learn how to talk about your feelings that you're upset about with a therapist, with a coach, with a good friend. Or write your letters to God. Talk to God about them. Because by talking about it, you raise your estrogen, and things that seem like big problems are now little problems. And with a little problem, you don't have to complain about it. Instead, what you can do is ask for more in small increments. See, what is a complaint? It's really asking for something to change. You asked me what I think about the future. What I know about the future is that it's not so pessimistic. I have to talk about the problem because there's so many problems happening. But in my life, people say, are you pessimistic, John? Mm-hmm. No. Every day, somebody walks up to me. They read my book. They got married again. They fell in love. They made peace in the family. This knowledge is not hard to apply. We just have to get it out to people, make people be aware of it. And what's not, it's ironic that the place in the world where there's more Mars-Venus coaches than anywhere is the Middle East, which is why I love coming here. People believe in marriage still. Mm-hmm. And when you just say, hey, I'm committed to this, I just need the information, and the information changes lives. And from here, we can change the world.
John Gray, I'm really happy that you are here in Egypt and in the Middle East. I'm always welcoming you here in the Middle East. And I think our conversation was really, really rich, and it brought my eyes towards what's the differences between what's happening on the other side of the ocean somehow, and are we doing what we are doing is the right way, or are we? I always had this kind of doubt somehow. Am I making a good family somehow with this, my traditions? As I was telling you before we were recording, I lived the two lives. So I used to live for a long time in Europe, and now I'm here, and I chose to marry and stay and do the traditional way of building a family. And that's what I saw made me fulfilled. And I'm really happy that you see, like, we have the same middle ground somehow with the concepts of how families should be built.
Yes, if I can summarize, you asked me to summarize a family relationship, particularly where the woman feels she's being respected and honored.
Yes.
That she's cared for.
Yes.
And understood in a positive way. Why I say that is because when you treat someone that way, estrogen goes up.
Yes.
Not that a man doesn't need those things. A woman biologically needs that more. And what a man needs to feel for his testosterone to go up, for him to feel healthy and in love, he needs to feel trusted that she can depend on him for things that are meaningful to her. Even when he's not perfect, he's providing the big things for me. And part of that accepting his imperfection is acceptance. So I feel accepted. No one's trying to fix me or change me, improve me. I'll do that on my own. Someone needs me. They trust me. And I feel appreciated for my efforts. This is the most important thing for men, to feel appreciated for their efforts.
Yes.
And so many women go, oh, I don't feel appreciated. That's her male side speaking. What she needs is her female side speaking, which is she doesn't feel respected. I need you to make me an equal. I need you to honor me. I need to feel special. I want to feel number one too. It's just, I feel number one by the way you treat me. Men feel number one by the way the world treats us. So we're the outside, they're the inside. We can balance that. And as we balance that which I've known now in my 70s, I now have a rich life where I'm both very powerful on my masculine side and also full of love on my female side. So we have both this balance. This is what we want to achieve first. But for a man, first establish your masculinity always, then move to your female. Yes. For a woman, find your female. But our culture has pushed women to the masculine. For women, come back to the female. Use your man to come back to their female. And that's what a family is, as an example to our children, to create safety and opportunity for them.
Yes. John Gray, it has been an honor. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.